I think we ought to live it out, but I think we ought to recount the day. Amen. I think you ought to know. I think you ought to know when you were born again. I think you ought to be able to point to that time. We may not remember the day, as in date. We may not remember the time. We may not even remember the message that was preached. But we ought to remember what happens inside of us. Amen. Because I believe that when the Lord saves us, He changes us and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when we get to be a new creature, we ought to remember that in Christ. All right. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 2. Now, we've just kind of turned the cart around a little bit this morning with this is our communion service, and we normally have a sharing time as we as a church sit around the table, but we've kind of done that already. But is there anybody else have anything that you'd just like to share this morning? Anything's burning on your heart you'd like to share before we partake in our communion service and the message this morning? Stand with us as we look at Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 25. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 25. We'll read through verse number 35. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Father, we thank you for this day and for this opportunity, for your word, for your spirit, Lord, for family, God, for just the blessings of life to share together with one another. Thank you for this opportunity to worship together. May your word now quicken us in our hearts. May every person here, Father, know that they know that they know that they belong to you. They're saved. And Lord, I ask you that you would reveal to us our own hearts. And Lord, that we would not be deceived in our lives and our minds, but God, that we might know beyond a shadow of any doubt that you're our Lord, that you're our Savior, and that nothing would separate us from your love. Lord, I pray that every person here would be able to know when they walk out of this building that they have seen your salvation in their life. Father, we ask you now, forgive us where we failed you. We pray for this message and the power to preach it. Lord, I pray if there's anyone lost that you would save them. For those that are backslidden, you would revive and refresh and renew them. And Lord, that you would encourage each of us. And Lord, give us the passion that we need to pursue godliness and holiness, your perfect will for our lives. And we'll give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. This morning, as we look here in the scripture, I want us to just kind of focus in a little bit on Simeon and this man of God. This man of God that would look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we understand as in those days the law was still prevailing, and things were had to be accomplished according to the law for Mary and for the baby Jesus that she had miraculously given birth to. And so in doing all of that, and on the as Jesus is now 40 days old, and on his on this occasion he comes to the temple, and they are to offer a sacrifice according to the law. But as they come into the temple, something extraordinary begins to happen. Here's this. There was a man, Luke records this. And you know, I love Luke's account of these things because, you know, at some point, he must have, by guidance of the Holy Spirit, he must have just kind of sat down and talked to Mary. After Jesus had been crucified, after the resurrection and all of those things that happened. But at some point, Luke must have just sat down with Mary and began to talk to her, because he records things here in his gospel that's really sort of very intimate with Mary. And we've already talked about some of those over the past couple of weeks. But again, here this morning, here's this story, the account of when Mary and Joseph, and they bring Jesus into the temple, and they're going to offer their sacrifice as this required by the law for a male child, etc. They are following through with everything that they needed to do. Why? Because they were godly people. They were following that path of righteousness that God had laid out for them. And as they were accomplishing this, all of a sudden they meet this man. And Luke simply says, and there was a man. And there was a man in Jerusalem. He was just a man, but he was named Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was just and devout. Now, the word here has to do with a person who is careful about something, and a person that is that's reverent toward God, God-fearing type of person. So the context of just and devout here is a person that is cautiously obedient unto the Lord. I think we ought to all be that way. Amen. We ought to all be cautiously obedient to the Lord. We ought to be cautious about listening to God, cautious about the Holy Spirit speaking to us, being sensitive to what He is telling us. Why? Because God has good things for His people. I believe that. God is for us and not against us. Amen. He works all things together for good to those that love Him and to those who are the called according to His purpose. And because of that, He leads us in the path of righteousness. We ought to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He woos us, as He calls us, as He guides us, as He directs us, as He tells us to stop or pull up or speed up. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. This man, Simeon, was a man who was just and devout. He was cautiously obedient, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word consolation there comes from the Greek. It really means a comfort, a comforting or an encouragement. So he's waiting for the comforting. He's waiting for the encouragement of his people. Now, he's not waiting for that comforting and encouragement that most were waiting for. They were waiting to be delivered from the Romans. They wanted political freedom. They wanted social elitist, if you will, elite status for their nation. But here's Simeon. He's waiting for the comfort of God to come. Were they groaning? Yes. Were they under a bondage? Yes. But what did he want? He wanted the things of God. Amen. He wanted the comfort of God. And so he's waiting. He's waiting here. I'm in the nation. Friends, we need to be anticipating God moving in our life in the midst of these things that we face every day in life, in the things that come come our way, we need to have an ear open to that voice that's going to speak to us, that we know that God is God and He is on the throne and He is in control regardless of what happens to me, regardless of what happens in the job place, regardless of what happens in the White House, regardless of what happens in the world today, God is still on the throne. Amen. And He's still in control. And we need to hear that. We need to know that. Why? Because that's covenant. God is preeminent in everything. And we need to know without a doubt that God is working in our life. Amen. This man was anticipating God's comfort and God's encouragement to Israel. Why? He was anticipating the Messiah. He was anticipating the Messiah. Signs were right and things were falling into place and much more than even the things that he could see with his eye or figure out with his mind. And it was revealed, verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the what? Holy Ghost. Amen. God had been speaking to him. When was the last time that you just come aside long enough with an anticipation that God was going to share something with you? Here's the Holy Spirit revealing to this man. Doesn't say that he heard an audible voice. He said it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God was revealing something to this man. You know what? He's still in the business. In fact, the business, I talked about this some last week, the Holy Spirit is, He has been, He always will be. He was active in the Old Testament. He's active in the New Testament here before the day of Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, even more of an involvement of the Holy Spirit, a greater intensity of the Holy Spirit. If people could hear before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit drawing them or guiding them or directing their life, how much more should we be able to hear it today? For every person that's saved. How much more should we be able to feel and know the presence of God? And so he was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not die or see death before that he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was anticipating the Messiah. Now I want you to look at this next verse with me here. And we're going to tie this into communion here in a little while. But look at it. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit into the temple. What does that mean? He, by leadership of the Holy Spirit, left wherever he was and went to the temple. He didn't necessarily need to go to the temple that day, maybe, or that particular time. But God had something for him. And the Holy Spirit led him to go to the temple. Oh, how sensitive we need to be to the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit led him into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, here's this opportunity for him to see the Messiah, the Christ child that he's been waiting for, anticipating that God by the Holy Spirit had impressed in his heart and his mind that he would not die until he had seen this Christ child, the Messiah that is to come. And now all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, Simeon, go to the temple. He goes to the temple. All of a sudden his eyes train on this young couple that's coming in with a small child. There might have been many that day. There could have been a lot of folks that come in. Came to the temple by the Spirit, and I believe by the Spirit, his eyes focused. Now Luke leaves out that detail to us as how that it all came about in me. But all of a sudden, we know that he understands this is the Christ child that he's going to see before he dies.
And the scripture said he just simply goes and he takes him up in his arms. And he begins to sing a hymn of praise, if you will, to God. And he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, "Now, Lord." "Okay, Lord." There had to be such a sense. Sometimes we just so read the Bible and, but can you imagine what Simeon felt at that moment? He's been cautiously obedient to God. He's been praying. He's been seeking the Lord. He's known in his spirit that before he dies, he's going to see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. And now, all of a sudden, something moves within him. Go to the temple, and he goes to the temple. And now, something draws his attention to this young couple with a small baby. 40 days old. And he goes, and he looks, and he takes that child in his arms. And now, the fulfillment of God's promise to him. He must have been absolutely taken here. Taken emotionally, taken mentally, taken spiritually to the place God wanted him to be. This is it. This is the child. This is the one. "Now, Lord, you can let your servant depart in peace according to thy word." He'd heard the word of God. May I say to you today that the word of God is true and his promises are yes and amen. He had received the promise of God by the word of the Spirit in him, and now here it is fulfilled. And he said, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." The Lord's Christ. What's he looking at? He's looking at a little 40-day-old baby in his arms. "My eyes have seen thy salvation." Jesus later said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen? No man goes to the Father except what? By me. Simeon looks at him, and Jesus is too young to speak. And he says, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." Up until this point, there's been a lot of things that's happened. You know, of course, the angel's visit to Zacharias and the fact that he couldn't speak for a period of time. And we had seen how that the angel had visited with Mary and likewise with Joseph later on. And Mary had visited with Elizabeth and the child, John the Baptist, had leaped in her womb and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And now here the angels had appeared to the shepherds that were out in the field, and they had came and they had been conversing. But now here's this man just a quiet. Now his age is implied here that he was an older man. Just a man in Jerusalem. And he takes that baby in his arms and he begins to testify, sing, if you will, or give a hymn of praise to God. "My eyes have seen thy salvation." You know, as truly as the Lord showed himself to Simeon in the form of that baby, And as surely as Simeon knew that this was it, this is the Christ child. This is God's salvation come to earth. Every one of us ought to be able to recount the time when God showed himself. We ought to know. I have seen thy salvation. Amen. Because without that, you're missing. You're missing something. In fact, without that, you'll miss God. You'll miss the things of God. You'll miss the promises of God. You'll miss the rewards of God. You'll miss eternity with God. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Have you seen God's salvation in your life? You know what? You see it just like he saw it. The Holy Spirit revealed to him, you're going to see the Christ child one day. And then the Holy Spirit moved him to the place that he needed to be. And then the Holy Spirit trained his eyes in on this baby. And he reached and he got that baby. Every person saved the same way. The Holy Spirit moves in us and He begins to work in our heart and the Word of God begins to come alive to us and we know that Jesus has come. He lived a sinless life. He died a sinner's death. That He was buried in the grave and on the third day He rose from the dead. And we know that we are a sinner. And that was done for us, for me, to be saved. How do we know that? It's by the Holy Spirit. There's one thing to hear it and to somebody say it. It's one thing to read it in the Scripture. It's one thing to sit through a vacation Bible school class or a Sunday school class or listen to a preacher holler at you. But it's something else when you understand by the Holy Spirit, I am lost and I need to be saved. And Jesus died for my sin. You know it. I don't think God intended for our salvation to be some secretive thing that we had to waller around in something to try to find out, to try to seek it out as a mystery. So, well, preacher, have you ever doubted your salvation? And I'd say yes, many times over. But because I know that God has shown himself in saving power in my life, I can always go back to that time and say, you know what? God changed my life. It's not because I wrote the date in the back of my Bible. It's not because my pastor said, now you're saved. But it's because of the Holy Spirit work in my heart. And you say, well, preacher, that's a lot of eyes. It's true, but salvation is personal. I can't talk about your salvation. I can talk about evidence after your public testimony and proclamation. You can talk about my life after my public proclamation of salvation and baptism. You can talk about my life after that, but you can't talk about my salvation. Amen? You need to know that the Word of God is alive in you. You need to know that the promise of God has been revealed to you. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He knew his salvation in that by the Word of the Holy Spirit, but he also knew by the Word of God that this is the Savior for all people. It wasn't a popular message among the Jews that were leaders. It said, a light will lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This baby is the salvation. It's my salvation, but it's the salvation of all Gentiles, of all nations, and for every Jew that will what? Believe. Friends, that's the way we are. When we know that we are saved and we have seen the Lord's salvation in our life, and we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the Savior that I need to talk about. This is the Savior that I need to present. This is the gospel that is worthy to give to all people, because God desires that all should be saved and none should perish. So Simeon says, this the Christ which you have prepared before the face of all people, light to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. And Joseph and mother and his mother, Jesus' mother, hear all of this. And here's this son that you have. It's God's salvation. But right in the midst of the birth and of all that was going on, he says, not everybody's going to be saved. Some's going to fall. Some's going to stumble. He's going to be a rock of offense to many, by the way. The fall and the rising again of many in Israel. For all who believe, we are raised in Christ, amen. For all who reject Him, you stumble over Him and you fall. And you fall for eternity except you believe. And said, as for a sign that has been spoken, a sign, of course, according to Matthew, is the Son of God. And it's the sign that is to be spoken against here. The word means to be opposed or rejected vehemently, or to be spoken against in contradiction. And of course, we know the result of that was crucifixion for Jesus. And verse 35 says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Here's the first negative thing that we really see in Luke's gospel. That right in the face of all of the joy of this new baby, now 40 days old, of everything that's happened for Mary and for Joseph, and all the wonders that God has worked in their life and all the things that He's been doing, all of a sudden now here comes the stark reminder, the crucifixion. The crucifixion. This son Jesus, the salvation of God, is going to face contradiction to those that will oppose Him. Those, they will speak against Him. They will lie against Him. They will do all kinds of things against Him. He said, Mary, you're in for a sword to pierce right through your own heart because of what she would witness with her son. You see, friends, we can never think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the wonder and amazement that goes with that without knowing that the cradle set in the very shadow of the cross. Jesus came to earth in this flesh, born of a virgin as a baby. Knowing that He was going to grow, knowing that He was going to live a sinless life, knowing that He was going to give His life to help people, to heal people, to feed hungry people, to take crippled people and make them walk, to take those that couldn't speak and make them speak, those that couldn't hear and make them hear, those that couldn't see to make them see. Friends, He knew He's going to do all of that. And then the multitudes are going to say, crucify. He knew that His mother, Mary, as surely as she sat in that stable and marveled at Him, and when the shepherds came, she kept pondering those things in her heart to know that when they brought Him to the temple, that Simeon was going to be there and he was going to proclaim this prophecy to them and begin to give this word of warning to them. Jesus knew all of that when He came. And Mary now gets the word. You're going to face some deep sorrow. When we think about our Savior coming as a babe, we have to think about the fact that He came knowing He was going to die. But this is the Word of God. This is the salvation of God. This is the payment. This is the redemption. God came through the Lord Jesus Christ to save His people from their sins. Amen? Not politically, not socially, not economically. And that will happen and be completely fulfilled in the millennial reign. But Jesus came that we might have life. He came to save us. And the way that He paid the price and to save us was through the cross. And that's the reason today as we take of these sacraments, we are mindful that Jesus come. He lived in the flesh. And when we take the bread, we have that bread, we're reminded that He gave His body, His physical body, to live a life for the purpose of God and to never sin, but then He would give that body on the cross. And when we partake of the cup, we're reminded that He died for us. In His body, He lived for us and He gave that body. And by His blood, He died for us. He paid the ultimate price. He was the supreme sacrifice. And accept Jesus. And He willingly died for us. Because we all have sinned. And we all need a payment. We all need to be redeemed. Because of that sin. And so when we think about it, and it's awesome that this time of communion comes after a time of Christmas and recognizing the Lord's birth, because we're reminded. The world gets all crazy with pagan rituals and all of those things with Christmas, but we're reminded that a Savior came. Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." When we celebrate Jesus' birth, we celebrate the salvation of God come to earth. Way back when our country suffered through 9/11 and the resulting war in Afghanistan came, and then, of course, in Iraq. I'm reminded of something I heard one of the soldiers say as he was interviewed. He said, "The way home is through Baghdad. The way home is through Baghdad." In other words, they were going that way to topple the regime of Saddam Hussein. Friends, the salvation of God, as wonderful as the story of Christmas is and the coming of the Lord Jesus being born of a virgin, the fact is the salvation of God was through the cross. Through the cross. Price that was paid. That's what we're reminded of today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "For often," Paul writes here, "for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." Here's the good news. As solemn as this occasion is, in remembering the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the payment for our sin, We should reckon with our own sin to make sure that we have confessed our sins and that we are not just doing this flippantly and not taking note of it, which is to our own condemnation. We should know that we are saved and that we belong to the Lord Jesus with our solemn resolution to live for Him as we can, best we can. We also take these sacraments with the element of hope. Just as Simeon had lived with hope because it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't die till he'd seen the Lord's salvation, the Christ child. Friends, when we take this and knowing that Christ died for us, we can take it with hope, knowing that we can belong to Him through faith and that nothing can separate us from His love and that we have eternal life. Amen? And one day He's coming back. Not as a babe in a manger. Amen. Not to suffer at the hands of men, but to establish His kingdom on earth. Amen. We have hope. And so when we partake of these sacraments, we're reminded that Jesus came. He lived a sinless life, but He gave His body and He shed His blood that we can be saved and have the hope of all eternity. This morning, before we partake of these sacraments, I just wonder, is there anyone here? Is there anyone here? You just need to be saved. And they're going to come to the instruments, and Tracy's going to come, and we're just going to have a course or two, or maybe right here today, you listen to folks. They gave their testimony about salvation, about knowing, settling the issue. And maybe you were just right there and you said, I don't know that. Maybe as I talked about being able to go back and recount that time when God did a work in you and you became a new creature and you said, I don't know that. Maybe the Holy Spirit has pricked you. And maybe today you're just sitting right there and you're saying, God, I want You. I want to know that I belong to You. Oh, what a time that it is right now to give your life to Jesus. Here's what you need to know. You need to know you're a sinner by revelation of the Holy Spirit. Not only have you done bad things, you have sinned against God. And you are dead in trespasses and sin. But you need to know that Jesus came and He was born of a virgin and He lived a sinless life. And eventually He gave Himself to sinful man to die a sinner's death in your place. And maybe by the Holy Spirit today, you understand that you need Jesus more than you need life itself. And you're really ready to turn from your sin, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrificial death. Maybe today, right now, you're ready to say, come. Come into my life, Lord. Forgive me of my sin and be my Lord. I commit my life to You. I want to know You. I want to know You. Maybe today, before you leave this service, you'd just like to know, I belong to Christ. I have seen Thy salvation, God's salvation. Stand up. Come on down. We'll pray with you and pray for you. This is your time. Anyone? The Holy Spirit's nudging you right now. This is your time. This is your appointed day to see the Lord's salvation.